In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week we noted the time travel of the Advent season, where we went from thinking about the final day, the last day, Judgment Day. 2 weeks ago we tackled it. Last week then we fast-forwarded to the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday text. Now today we go back in, or we go forward in time again to the last day, back to the future as it were. Now on the one hand, this is familiar territory to 2 weeks ago, but on the other hand, it's good to be reminded always of the second coming of Christ, especially because we're so quick to forget that Jesus is coming, that Jesus is coming for you. And one connection we can make between this gospel text and the last week gospel text of the triumphal entry is that it's just 2 days later, after he rides into Jerusalem, that he gives our gospel text these teachings about the last day. So he and the disciples are there in Jerusalem at the Passover, marveling at the grandness of the temple. And we should note some contrast here, where we have 2 days before the humble donkey with children and palm branches, and how that humility is nothing compared to the grandness of ancient world parades. Jesus and his motley crew of 12 likewise are nothing next to the Jewish zealous rebellions that the Greek world would see compared to the meager donkey triumphal entry. And the mere words that Jesus speaks while looking up at the temple are, for the moment, just words. That is, just humble vibrations through the air. The temple, it's pretty big, pretty grand, but in just a little while, no stone will be left upon another, and that there will be a coming day of cosmic changes and the Son of Man coming with power and great glory. All right, it's one thing to say it, but at the moment, these are just humble vibrations through the air, just words. It's another to actually see it take place. So Jesus says, effectually, just wait. It's coming. This is all going to pass away, but these, my words, will not pass away. The words of his prophecy will only become more and more relevant, more and more glorious, even though at the time they're humble. And if there's one word from Jesus today that we want to commit to our memory as much as quick as possible, it's this: straighten up and raise your heads when the day comes, when all of these things are taking place, the power and glory of the Son of Man. Straighten up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Your redemption is drawing near. This is a beautiful summary of what we look forward to. So imagine with me, you're in a coffee shop and you're overhearing a conversation between two friends, and you hear they're talking about politics, they're talking about the strife in this world, how ugly things are, and how they only see it getting worse and worse, and who knows just how bad it'll look even in the next month. It's a very dreary kind of conversation you're overhearing. And they wonder about EMPs or even having a nuclear apocalypse, with how fragile humanity is and how powerful our weapons are. And you hear them wondering about whether that will even be the trigger to the end of the world. And one of them even says, what if that's when Jesus comes back, when the nuclear bombs are all going off around the world? What if that's the final event before the rapture and the judgment day, even using a word like Armageddon? And you can just feel the fear and trembling coming from their voices over this. So you can't stay silent any longer. Excuse me, most polite tone you can. I couldn't help but overhear your conversation. You guys sound like you believe in Jesus. God be praised. I'm a Christian too. And I believe that Jesus is coming again too. But Jesus never calls that last day Armageddon. And whenever Jesus comes back, who knows when, he's got, in fact, a different name for it. He calls it, for us Christians, the Day of Redemption. We read about it every year in church, where Jesus says, when the day comes, there will be many people fainting with fear, but he tells us to lift up our heads, chin up. Our redemption is drawing near. And you didn't think much past that, and now you're socially awkward trying to figure out where to go from there, how to back out of the conversation. But even that's okay, because the day of your redemption is drawing near. The one who bled and who died on the cross for us is who shall draw near to us. That's the one who's coming. So there's nothing to be afraid of. Jesus even contrasts between those who are afraid and those who lift up their heads with joy. Those who are afraid have been convinced by the devil, not merely that their time to die is now. That would be one thing, that is when the trumpets sound and Jesus begins to come, but that they're about to meet their maker is where the fear comes from. That everything that they've thought and said and done, that there is enough of it that is wrong, that I'm going to truly be judged. This is the sign of a bad conscience. But up to that point, the world has been able to sedate it with entertainment, with distraction, pursuing the passions of the flesh, and the like. But that's why this fainting with fear and foreboding will be sudden and terrible for those who have a stained conscience. And it's not that Jesus would, in truth, look like a monster. He'll just look like Jesus. But the fact that he's there at all means to the world that the way that we live in this life has actually been seen, has actually mattered for this whatever comes next, eternity. But for you, dear saints, you have already wrestled with this. And if not, no time like the present. Faced this battle head on in your heart, the conscience. You've faced the terrors of the law about how it accuses and condemns you of your sin. You've recognized how every sickness and tragedy preaches that there is more to this world and life. And the Holy Spirit has blown on you, pointed you to the light, pointed you to the gift, pointed you to God's own solution to the condemnation of your sin, pointed you to the way to eternal life. And he, the Holy Spirit, has opened up to you Moses and the prophets, how this plan has been from of old, this plan of a Savior who rescues you by shedding his blood for you, that your stained, unclean conscience is covered, is forgiven, and that you don't die eternally under the weight of Judgment Day. No, Jesus has already died in our place. Alleluia. So within this, your clean, baptized conscience, I want to add an additional comfort. And beginning with this question, will you suffer on the last day before you're taken up into heaven? I don't know if you've ever wrestled with this. If not, no worries, but I think this is important. That when Jesus comes, that it's not just your eyes trying to adjust to the brightness of Jesus. But when you hear about stars falling, waves of the ocean flooding, or maybe imagining fires from nuclear radiation, destroying, or at least harming, before God takes you up into heaven, whether it comes upon you believers. Now, I'd say on the one hand, we entertain this because we know that our Father's path for us is through suffering of this life. It's undeniable. Peter says, don't be surprised at the fiery trials when they come upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But on the last day, we want to hone in on what is the purpose of that day. It's judgment day, but you, dear children of the Heavenly Father, because of the blood of Jesus, you have already faced judgment day. You've repented, continue to repent, and your sin is given to him, and he has crucified it on the cross. Your judgment for your sin already occurred. Punishment already taken place when he was given that wrath. The righteousness of God, of Jesus, has already been given to you. Credited to your name, you are already adopted into the family of God. The Father already smiles upon you, seeing Jesus in you. Unbelievers are a different story. They've refused to let Jesus into their hearts and the atonement cover them. So as they would want it, they will be judged on whether or not they were a good person, oblivious to the standard of perfection and that it's a free gift in Jesus. But for you, listen to the words of Jesus in John 5. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment." So a picture of this, perhaps. I'm an Oklahoman, so this image kind of hits home for me. You know how it is with tornadoes, with smaller tornadoes, how sometimes the damage can just kind of be random, one house obliterated, another house barely a scratch. Well, I was there in 2013 after Oklahoma's EF5 tornado. Our campus ministry went to clean it up, and it was flattened. Nothing remained. No one escaped unless they were buried deep down into their storm cellar. The only thing standing were the biggest trees. But even they were just pillars. All of the branches were shed from them. Well, on Judgment Day, it'll be like that. That is to say, there's no escaping being called to the table to give an account. But for you, your account is clear. Your ledger wiped by the blood of Christ. So right now, in your baptism, you are in a storm cellar that's EF 1000 Judgment Day proof, the church. And there's perhaps another image that really hits how God can do this, how he can spare the unbelievers of such Judgment Day. Well, it happened 1446 BC in the days of Moses, whereby the command and promise of God, the church put blood crosses over their door frames and turned their homes into a Judgment Day proof shelter. And in the comfort of their home, they ate. They celebrated, according to the instruction of God, the specific feast of the Passover. And God told them to eat with their belts fastened, their shoes with peace, ready to enter into a new day, a day of salvation, of rescue, of resurrection, to go to a promised land. And at midnight, it was Judgment Day in Egypt. God struck down the firstborn of every Egyptian, a great cry throughout all the land, fear and foreboding, but no Israelite firstborn was touched. They were redeemed. So, dear saints, this redemption day is soon. God be praised. Now is the time between the promises and the fulfillment. Let us not neglect to gather together to hear the promises, to eat together with our fellow repentant believers. Let us encourage one another all the more as we see the day drawing near. Let us bow our heads and worship. And when that trumpet sounds on that final day, let us lift up our heads, chin up, for the day of redemption will have arrived. Your kingdom is come, dear saints. In the name of Jesus, amen.